give us what we need.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Love you.
Wow. Appreciate it. For a minute, I thought my wife was talking to me. It kept putting words in my mouth. Well, that didn't go over. Mark chapter number 5 in your Bible. You're glad to be here tonight. Man, I love that song. I hadn't heard that before. When he welcomed the beggar. Praise God, that's good. Because most of us, the best we'll ever have it, on the world's level, we're beggars. I read the other day, if you don't make $200,000 a year, you live in poverty. Welcome to my world. But I'm glad we have treasures that money cannot buy. First time I remember meeting you was at Brother Hutzel's church. And you played the guitar and then the next morning preached like a wild man. Spit on me, my brother. And I mean snuff and all, praise God. We out of time. And I love old time religion. I'm not ashamed of it. This is the way we act at my place. God is good. And I couldn't help but, you know, do that a while ago when they were doing what they call the prelude. You say, what is that? That's music before you get started. And I love that steel guitar. I got a friend of mine that's got music like that in his church. And one morning, this real dignified man came and said, my dear brother, the Holy Spirit has led upon my heart to come here and help you with your music program. He went, great, man. We've been looking for a steel guitar player. Can you play one of these? I got like to swallow his false teeth. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Turn to somebody to your left and say, you look good tonight. You look really good tonight. Now turn to somebody to your right and say, you look absolutely horrible, but I'm going to pray for you. Well, a boy in my church, he said, why do you always wait till my wife is on the right before you do that? I said, I just want to see if you got nerve enough to say it, buddy. That's all I... But man, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you're saved, raise your right hand. You know it, raise your left hand. You're glad about it, raise both. Amen. God is good. Mark's Gospel tonight, chapter number 5. And I want to begin reading in verse number 22. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. And say this out loud with me. And she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. We will leave off reading in verse 24. And we'll pick it back up again in verse number 35. And the reason why I'm doing that, you know the story, as Jesus was going home with Jairus to heal his little girl. That's when that woman that had that issue of blood interrupted the procession, preached through there and touched the hem of his garment. And what I love about the Lord, when he's going to help somebody else, he don't mind helping somebody else. Amen. And what I love about the Lord, when he's meeting my need, he's a meeting your need. Because you can't bind him up. You can't block him off. You can't box him in. He'll break out every time. I'm glad there's no boundaries, no borders, no limits to what he can do. So we pick it back up again in verse number 35. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a Baptist, which said, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Time out. I don't know who this dude is, but don't tell him something. He is not troubling the master. And can I say, when you're calling on him tonight, you're not troubling the master. You're not bothering him. You're not getting on God's nerves. You have been invited to the throne of grace. In fact, he shed his blood so you and I could come to the throne of grace. And the Bible teaches me that God wants to help me more than I realize I need him. You're not troubling the master. And verse number 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, say this out loud with me, be not afraid, only believe. Watch the Bible now, verse number 42. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And the Lord being our helper, I want to preach from this passage tonight on this subject, somebody go get God. I believe tonight it's one of the most vivid and clear pictures of intercessory prayer that you'll find in all of the Bible. I believe tonight the greatest praying we'll ever do, the most needed praying that we'll ever do, and the most rewarded praying we'll ever do is the prayer of intercessory. Going to God on behalf of someone else. I'm glad tonight I can go to God on my behalf. I'm glad I can ask God to meet my needs. But what a blessing it is when somebody loves you enough that they will literally go to God on your behalf. I believe tonight nations have been changed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe churches have been revived because somebody got a hold of God. I believe drunken daddies got sober because somebody got a hold of God. I believe wayward young people have found their way back home because somebody got a hold of God. I believe sick bodies have been healed because somebody got a hold of God. I believe broken families have been mended because somebody got a hold of God. I believe discouraged preachers and discouraged church members have found a new faith and a new hope and a new victory in Jesus Christ because somebody got a hold of God. And I'm glad tonight he is a God that you can get a hold of. I like that so good. Don't say that again. I'm glad he is a God that you can get a hold of. For we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. Can I remind you tonight he is the Almighty God? Can I remind you tonight that he is the able God? But can I remind you that he is the accessible God? He is a God that can be gotten a hold of. And on the other side of that cord, he is the God that can get a hold of you. And I'm glad when we get a hold of God and God gets a hold of us, the scene is going to change. I believe tonight that Abraham got a hold of God for Lot. I believe that Jesus got a hold of Lot. I got a hold of God for his disciples. I believe Paul got a hold of God for that young preacher by the name of Timothy. I believe I've got an old mama tonight up in North Carolina that's got a hold of God for me. I have a dad tonight in the presence of the Lord. Today would have been his 83rd birthday. Dad, you're having the best birthday you've ever had. You preached about him. You sang about him. You shouted about him. You took a lap or two about him. And now he is in his presence. I'm glad somebody got a hold of God for me. I believe tonight I stand before you saved and called to preach and anointed of God and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb because somebody got a hold of God for me. And honey, there may be somebody in your family. There may be somebody in your world. There may be somebody in your life when everybody has given up on them and it seemed like there is no hope. But I want to tell you on the other side of town is a God who knows no boundaries, who knows no borders, and he's able to do for us what we can never do for ourselves. Why, you just look at Matthew chapter number 5 and Mark chapter number 5 where this scripture is located. It seemed like there is nothing beyond God's divine ability. If a storm gets up, he's got that handle. If a woman's got a disease, he's got that handle. If somebody's full of the devil, he's got that handle. And here's a daddy with a little girl with a need, but he's got that handle. I'm glad he can meet daddy's needs. He can meet mama's needs. He can meet the girl's needs, the boy's needs, the preacher's needs, the church needs, because he's higher than the highest. He's greater than the greatest. He's better than the best. There's nothing too hard for God. I'm glad he's a God that we can get a hold of. And he's a God that can get a hold of us. Amen. Notice three things in this text tonight that I believe is a picture of intercessory prayer. Number one in the text, I want you to see the mandate that drove him. The mandate that drove him. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, think about it like this. What would cause this man to get up out of his house and leave that little girl that was sick and go all the way across town and publicly and audibly bow down before the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, he knows who he is. We know who he is. But that crowd did not know who he is. As far as they were concerned, he was a sandal-wearing, robe-wearing imposter. That's what they thought about him. And everybody shunned him. And you weren't supposed to have anything to do with it. And here is a man. And I don't mean just a common man. I don't mean just a poor man. The King James Bible said he was a man that was the ruler of the synagogue. He is a man of power. He is a man of prestige. He is a man of authority. And what would cause that man to walk out of his house and go all the way across town and bow at the sandal feet of Jesus Christ and beg him like a little child begs his father? What would make a grown man get on his knees and ask and beg for something like a little child? I'll tell you what his mandate was. He had a need that was beyond his resources. He had a need that was too big for his supply. He had a mountain he couldn't climb. He had an ocean he couldn't swim. He had a desert he couldn't cross. He has money but not enough money. He's got power but not enough power. He's got religion but not enough religion. It's God or nothing. It's divine or nothing. It's sovereignty or nothing. It's heaven or nothing. It's the Almighty or nothing. You say, Brother Joe, it's been a while since I really got serious with God. You know what you just told me? It's been a while since you had a problem. It's been a while since you had a need. It's been a while since you've had some adversity. But Lord God, youngins, aren't you glad tonight when the mountain's too high and the river's too wide and the valley's too deep and the bank account's not big enough and your resources are not big enough? I'm glad there's a place where we can go and get money that we don't have and power that we don't have and faith that we don't have. I'll tell you what it did. His adversity, his need, his trial didn't drive him from God. It drove him to God. I can tell you this tonight. I don't think Jairus was a Baptist. because most Baptists I know were troubles like that. They lay out of church for 7 years. And I'm telling you, laying out of church, not reading your Bible, not walking with God, that's not going to settle anything. You know who this man is in our text? He is a ruler of the synagogue. He is a man of authority. He is a man of power. But he does not have enough authority. He does not have enough power to drive that disease out of that little girl. You know what this man is? He is a rich man. He is not poor like you and I. He has a home. He has money. He is a very wealthy man. He is a man of riches. But he does not have enough money in his pocket, nor enough money in his saving to buy that little girl's healing. Why, he's got money to buy a doctor. He's got money to buy some medical aid. But he has not got enough money to heal the sick body of that little girl. I mean, it's beyond his bank account. It's beyond his money. He can't speak her healing. He can't buy her healing. You know what else he is? He's a religious man. Let me say this tonight. He's not an adulterer. He's not a fornicator. He's not a thief. He's not a robber. He's not a profane person. He's not a thug. He's not a criminal. He's not a drunkard. He's not a jailbird. He's not a wife beater. He is a good, upstanding man. He is a ruler of the synagogue. He knows the Old Testament like we know the back of our hand. He is a very, very religious person. He is a good man. But can I tell you tonight, in the real world, bad things happen to good people. And do you hear me tonight? Don't you swallow this stuff about, well, if you're right with God and you're full of God, you won't ever have any problems, and you won't ever get sick, and nothing bad's going to happen to you. Hey, this man ain't been out drinking. He's not been out carousing. He's not been out stealing. He's serving God to the best of his ability. He's telling others about God the best of his ability. He's doing right the best of his ability. But he can't live holy enough to heal that little girl. He can't be faithful enough to heal that little girl. He's not powerful enough to heal that little girl. He don't have enough money to heal that little girl. But under God, youngins, when his works can't do it, and his money can't do it, and his power can't do it, there's something that drives him like a wild man. I'm going to get God. I'm going to get God. I'm going to get God. And tonight when we can't, God can. And he never fails. And he's a God we can get a hold of. Woo! I like that. You say, what made him do that? He's a daddy. What made him do that? He's not just a daddy. He's a daughter daddy. That's not some little knot-headed boy. That's a daughter. A friend of mine has four little girls. Now they're starting to get in the age of dating. I saw that redneck the other day, and he had a shirt on with a big 38 special. And it says, guns don't kill people, daddies with daughters do. Anybody here tonight, you are a dad. You are a daughter dad. If you're in this building tonight and you are a daughter dad, you know what manipulation's about. Man, on the little pinky of every girl in here dangles her daddy by his pocketbook. Boy, you make all these brags when you and your wife first get married. Bless God, them kids is going to act right. Them kids is going to do right. They're not going to get something. Bless God, every time we go to the store, we're not going to spoil them. They're going to work for what they get. Bless God, we're going to be tough around here. And all of a sudden, there comes this little girl, and she said, Daddy. And you're like, oh. Because you know what daddies do? We fix stuff. Because our little girls thinks daddy can fix anything. 2.5 years ago, my little girl, I was getting ready to preach in North Carolina and my phone rang. And my wife was trying to tell me something. And I could not hear my wife speak for my little girl wailing in the background. Her dreams were shattered. Her hopes were shattered. Everything for the last several years that she had worked for looked like, I said, looked like it was going up in smoke. And boy, she's a sobbing, she's a weeping. You say, what'd you do, preacher? I preached as fast as I could and got in that Chevrolet and drove 4.5 hours that night and held my little girl. I wanted to fix it, but I couldn't. I wanted to wave my magic wand, but I didn't have it. I checked my bank account, didn't have enough money. I didn't have enough connections. And to be honest with you, at that time, I didn't have enough faith. But my God, down in here where the Holy Ghost lives, that was a still small voice said, I got it. I got it. I got it. Daddy, I don't need your money. Daddy, I don't need your faith. Daddy, I don't need your power. I'm the real Father. I'm the Holy Father. I'm the everlasting Father. I'm the true Father. I tell you tonight, our problems and our storms, they ought to drive us to God, not away from God. And here he is as a daddy. And his little girl, according to his own admission, is at the point of death. Daddy don't have enough power. Daddy don't have enough money. Daddy don't have enough authority to heal that little girl and save her from death. But all he remembers, I've read some of them Old Testament scriptures, that one day out of Bethlehem, a star was going to shine. I read in Isaiah a scroll that a little baby is going to be born. And the government's going to sit upon his shoulders. That little baby one day is going to grow up into a man. He's going to go to the house of God. And the Holy Ghost is going to get on him. And he said, I've come to do some things. Give sight to the blind. Set at liberty them that are captive. Oh, yeah, he's going to be wounded for our transgressions. He's going to be bruised for our iniquity. He'll be like the peace, like a river. He'll live in a place called Beulah Land. He'll establish a kingdom in which there'll be no end. I believe he's here, boys. I believe he's here. I believe he's in the city right over yonder. I've heard about him touching. I've heard about him healing. I've heard about him preaching. I believe that just could be him. No, I believe that is him. I see Jairus as he looks at that little girl. Honey, hang on. Daddy ain't got enough money. Well, I'm going to a man that's got all the money. Daddy ain't got enough power. Well, I'm going for somebody that's got all power. Honey, your daddy, it's out of my hands. I'm going to somebody else that's about to put his hands in this situation. Aren't you glad when you was a sinner? My God, I feel like preaching right there. Lost without God, headed to hell. Your mama couldn't help you. Your daddy couldn't help you. Your preacher couldn't help you. But somebody said, I know who can. They went and got God. I want to tell you, don't give up and don't turn back. It's not too late. It's not too big. It's not too bad. Somebody can still go get God. The mandate that drove this man. I love this. Number two in the text. Notice the mission that directed this man. Here is a man that is on a mission. He leaves his house. He leaves his comfort zone. Listen to this. He puts his own personal agenda aside because it's God or nothing. I'm afraid a lot of daddies in our church, the one I pastor, the story wouldn't have come out this good because they would not have been willing to put their selfish, personal pleasures aside to see God do something in the life of that little girl. And I want to say to every mama, every daddy in this room tonight, what could be more important and the power of God, the Holy Ghost of God, and the anointing of God getting on one of your youngins. Son, I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to make fun of other people that play golf. Son, I like to play music. I like all of that. But dads, there sometimes we've got to put our own plans aside, our own selfish wants aside, and realize there are some things more important than who we are. I mean, you realize who this is? This is the man. This is Jairus. He's the ruler of the synagogue, and he's got to walk across town and bow at the feet of the sandal-wearing Nazarene. But you know what? That little girl's healing is more important than who daddy is and what daddy's got. He's a man on a mission. Let me quote you a verse. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Because it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about him and God getting a hold of somebody else. Let me ask you this. Do you think he passed by anybody that had a word of criticism? Where's he going? What does he think he's going to do? I'd have been Jairus. I'd have said, You know what I'd have said? You ain't got a daughter. What makes Jairus act like that? I don't act like that. You ain't got a daughter. I wouldn't bow at the feet of him. You ain't got a daughter. I wouldn't want to stay up all night and pray. You ain't got a burden. I wouldn't go for all that religious stuff. You don't have a mountain. You don't have something in your life you can't whoop. I want to tell you, I've tried to whoop them. I've tried to pay it. I've tried to buy it. And God, through his sovereignty, many times has providentially brought me to the end of myself when I couldn't do anything but trust God. But don't be discouraged. I've come to tell you, when God is all you got, he's all you need. And he never, 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 and he never fails. He presses through that crowd. Can I walk around?
Yes, sir.
And he presses through that crowd. And he walks up there to where Jesus is. Notice what he does when he gets there. He does not get up into his face. He falls at his feet. I was going down the road the other night listening to Christian radio. They said it was Christian, but after 10 minutes, I don't think it was Christian. And this guy was going to preach a message on prayer. And he said, I want to do a word exposition on the word ask. After 3 minutes, I can tell you, he didn't know what it meant. Because this man said, when you ask God, that means you get in God's face and command God. I'm from Georgia, and I got better sense than that.
Yeah.
Why, who ever heard of a little private commanding a general? Who ever heard of some little sheep commanding a shepherd? Who ever heard of a lump of clay commanding a potter? Who ever heard of a servant telling a master what to do? Who ever heard of a wife? I ain't going there. But who ever heard? Who ever heard? Oh, that's almost blasphemy that you and I would order God and command God. I will tell you something, boy. We don't command God. We don't order God. We beg God. We beseech God. We plead for God. We don't get in his face. We bow at his feet. Oh, Martha and Mary learned that. Isn't it amazing how people can have the same mama and the same daddy, live in the same house, go to the same church, and be so different? Martha, Mary, sisters, but different. Martha is a worker. she gets it done. And I'm going to say much about Martha. She'll get in your face and slap your jaws if she don't think you ain't getting it done. Martha had burned down a whole forest while most of us are still looking for a match. Jesus comes to town and she gets up in his face. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, your brother's going to live again.
Yep.
And I've seen Baptists do this. And she starts quoting scripture to Jesus like he didn't know what was in the book. Time out. I've heard Baptists pray, God, you know you said. And yeah, he know he said it in the Bible because he put it in the Bible because he said it. She said, well, I know it's going to live again the last day of the resurrection. And Jesus said, read my lips. I am the resurrection and the life. Then he turned around and said, where's Mary? She's different. She's timid. She's quiet. She bottles it all up inside. But Martha's mad. Everybody knows it. Because she wants everybody else around her to be mad too. There's people tonight looking out of the corner of their eye. You're trying to show me who Martha is right now. I ain't looking. But old Mary, she just bottles it up and cries. Holds it all in. She feels like nobody cares. And son, there may be a Mary in this room tonight. You may think nobody knows, nobody cares if they did know. But standing right outside of your Bethany is a Savior who's come just for you tonight. Because Jesus looks around and said, where's Mary? They said, Jesus, she's off weeping and a-crying. Boy, is this dog a hunt. He said, you go tell her the master's coming and call her for thee. Amen. Son, can you imagine that unnamed messenger? By the way, that unnamed messenger in the Bible is always a picture of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because when the Spirit has come, he will not testify himself, but he'll brag on Jesus.
Amen.
That unnamed messenger is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Lord, have mercy. That unnamed messenger went in that little room said, Mary, you quit crying now. I got some news for you. The master's come. He's calling for you. He's asking for you. Oh, do you remember that night when God's Holy Ghost came to your came to your dilemma and said, the master's come. And he calling for you. Hallelujah. He still makes house calls. The master's come, he calling for thee. Mary goes into there where Jesus is. But here's where they're different. She don't get up there in his face. She bows down at his feet. And honey, when you see Mary at the feet of Jesus, that's not her first time. And it won't be her last time. There is a place. Abraham found it by the altar. Moses found it in the cliff of the rock.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Mary found it at the feet of Jesus. Oh, I'm glad there is a place of quiet rest near the heart of God. And she found her place. Why, she had wept at his feet. She had washed his feet. She had waited at his feet. She had worshiped at his feet. When she's at the feet of Jesus, she's been there before.
Amen.
And listen to what she says. She says the same thing, the exact same thing that her sister just said. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But the difference is how she said it. And where she was. When she said it. Martha. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Mary. If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, preacher, I got a bill I can't pay. I got a mountain I can't climb. I got an ocean I can't swim. I want to tell you there's a place. at the feet of Jesus. And if you bow at his feet and beg him and ask him and pull on his heartstrings, he's not limited. He's not bound, because they that have a broken spirit, God will not despise them. He falls at his feet and begs. I was riding down the road the other day and I saw this. Honey, I like to wreck my car. I like to run over two or three people. I cleared out two or three ditches, took down seven rows of corn in this guy's cornfield. I got blessed. Notice what Jerry said. He said, if you will come, glory to God, I like this right here, and lay your hands.
Yep.
He didn't ask him to speak a word. He said, there's something about your hands. And you hear me? If he's a normal daddy, he's had his hands on that girl.
Yes, sir.
If he's a normal daddy, he's held that girl in his arms. If he's a normal daddy, he's tried to comfort her with his hand. But he said, Jesus, it's too big now. It's too bad now. It's out of my hands. But Jesus, when it's out of my hand, I'm about laying it into your hand. If you'll just take your hands, I believe it. I want to say I'm glad there's a nail-scarred hand from bloody Calvary, that if his hand ever gets in our hand, we can take our hands off of it and put it in his hand. Jesus, there's something about your hands. I don't know what birthed so much faith in his heart about the hands of Jesus. But whatever it was, he done got a hold of that old boy. Maybe he read where he took his hands when there was nothing. Thumped that little stars. Hung moons and suns. Dug out oceans and heaped up mountains and traced down rivers. You said, I thought that happened with a big bang. It did. God said, let it be, and bang it was. Maybe he had read where God delivered Israel out of Egypt with a high hand. God high-fived way before we ever did. Moses is standing there with that stick in his hand and holding up, and God parts the water and comes by and says, what do you think about that boy? Oh, he said in the book of Psalms, he guides us with the skillfulness of his hands. Why, he feeds the bird with those hands. He lights the sun with those hands. He causes the wind to blow with those hands. And by the way, those same hands, oh my God, one day I'll be nailed to a cross. And one day those hands will come out on the other side of the tomb of resurrection. And one day those hands will be lifted up and bless them as he ascends back into glory. And one day that hand reaches further down than you can reach up. His saving hand, his guiding hand, his anointing hand. And Lord God, youngins, that same hand one day, I'll take that Holy Ghost handkerchief and wipe all the tears from our eye. Hey, I'm glad for the hands of the Master. Woo! Just put them hands of yours on there. It ain't no might to it, Jesus. She shall live. And I love the next verse. And Jesus went with him. Can I run if I come right back? And Jesus went with him. The Holy Ghost just told me to tell somebody he'll go home with you tonight. He don't love Jairus no more than he does you. Oh my God, am I one of the chosen? Are you breathing?
Come on.
If you're one of the chosen. Some people are worried about being the chosen. All they are is frozen.
Preach, Joe.
I tell you exactly, if you're breathing, you are chosen. If you're a human being made in the image of God, you're it. Woo! Did he die for me? Are you made in the image of God? Are you no fallen sinner? Yep. I got good news. He died for you, and he died for me. He tasted death for every man. Woo! He went home with Jairus, and he'll go home with you. Woo! Hallelujah. And he went with him. Watch this. I love using Brother Derek over here. I've used him before in some sermons. Do what the preacher says. How old are you?
42.
I'm 53. You do what I tell you to, boy. You be Jairus. And Jesus and Jairus is going over there to heal that little girl. And man, the commotion. They're there by the hundreds. They're there by the thousands. They throng them. They're surrounded by people. And he's on his way. And he'll never be late. No, our dollar's short.
That's right. I like it.
You say, suppose she dies before the doctor gets there. He's also the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
He's got it covered.
Amen.
Both sides of the river.
Yes.
This side and the other.
Yes.
So while they're going, then here comes this little woman that's been sick for 12 years. Now, 12, where have I read? Oh, his little girl is 12. And this here woman's been sick for 12. This woman's been sick for every year that little girl has been alive. And she too ain't got no more money. She too don't have any more power. And she presses through that crowd. And this is another sermon. I got to hurry because I want to scratch this itch real bad. She said, I want to touch just the hem.
Yep.
Yes. Come on.
What is the hem? That's the finishing act of the garment.
Yes.
And before you make a hem, you got to turn one side up. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up. Before you make a hem, you got to pierce it within and without. And they lifted him up and pierced him. Within and without. To get that hem to stay, there's a cord unseen that woves through that garment that ties it all in. Lord, honey, aren't we glad there is a bloodline? Whoop, there's a scarlet cord. Hey, you say, preacher, when will God meet my need? When by faith you touch the finished work of Calvary, business is going to pick up. She presses through that crowd. No, now you Baptists, hold on here. When she did, the Bible said she felt it.
Come on.
See, I don't have any problem with that.
I don't either.
Cause see, my mama and all her people were Church of God, so I don't have any problem with that. I'm a Baptist. My daddy was a Baptist, but my mama was Church of God. Daddy was saved, but didn't know how to enjoy it. Mama was saved. She wasn't sure for how long, but she enjoyed what she had. So they got together. And Mama got to believing like Daddy, and Daddy got to acting like Mama. And then they had me, and I got the best of both worlds. Woo! Believe like a Baptist and enjoy it like a Holy Roller. My mama's been a Baptist for 70 years. She'll still do that.
That's right. Yes,
sir.
Holy Ghost twitch.
She, glory to God.
Amen.
I love you, Mama. I'm so glad I got to see that when I was a boy.
Amen.
I didn't even know God, but I knew she did. Woo!
Amen.
She felt it in her body.
Yeah.
Well, but you know what the Bible said? Jesus felt it too.
Amen.
He went, power just come out of me. Virtue just come out of me. Authority just come out of me. And watch this now. An all-knowing God turns around and says, who touched me? Can I just tell you tonight, when an all-knowing God asks questions, he ain't hunting information. Well, if he already knows the answer, why does he ask? To give you an opportunity to get honest. Who touched me? And them old disciples, God help them. They said, who do you think? All this here crowd and all these people, right? Do you have your... Oh, shut up. Who touched me? And that little woman said, it was me. And sir, can I tell you why I did it? He said, tell your story, sis. She's, now watch this old Jairus just waiting his turn. If that had been me, I'd have said, Jesus, don't worry about that old woman. We got to go. I got to you first. We got to go. Oh, you know what? Jairus, let God get a hold of this thought. My God, get a hold of this. It'll change your life. Jairus was willing for God to work a miracle in everybody else's life but his. Because he knew his turn would come. I'll be right back. Y'all getting into the thing over here in this corner. He was willing to wait for God to work on somebody else because Jairus had enough faith. Hey, he ain't going to run out of prayer until he gets to me. He's not going to run out of virtue to get to me. He can heal this whole crowd and still have enough to heal my daughter. I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to renew my strength. I might even sprout my eagle wings and fly on that one. That's Bible.
Amen. You're right. Amen.
Sir, here's why I did it. I've been sick for 12 years. When that woman said 12, I believe Jerry said, what? Did she say 12? 12. My little girl's 12. Oh, wow. If he can heal her who's been sick for 12, he can raise my daughter who's 12. Because 12 is 12 no matter how you cut it. I guess it is no secret what God can do for what he's done for others, he can do for you. He's getting more faith. He's not getting weaker. He's getting stronger. When that little woman said 12, I believe it said hallelujah. He's the God of 12s. And then Jesus said to that little girl, he said to that woman, you ready? Daughter! Son, when Jesus said daughter, I believe just, did he just say daughter? Did he just call her daughter? He's got one too.
Yes. Yes.
He knows how I feel. Oh, God. Woo! Hallelujah, boy. He knows what I'm going through.
Yes.
He's gone through that same storm. He's walked through that same valley. I want to tell you now, the God of this Bible, he's not out of touch. He's not out of touch. He's walked in your shoes. He's walked in your valley. You ain't the only one that's got a need and a daughter.
Amen.
I guess it ain't no secret what God can do for what he does for one daughter, he'll do for another daughter.
Amen. Amen.
You say, I'm here tonight and I got a daughter that's lost. Go get God. He saves daughters. Okay. Anybody here tonight, man or woman, and you got a daughter. And you feel like the best of your knowledge, I know you really don't know, but the best of your knowledge, your daughter has been saved. Tell you something, buddy. He don't love your daughter no more than he does mine. He saved your daughter. He can save mine. He saved your daughters. He can save mine. He died for mine too. He loves mine too. Anybody got a saved daughter? Well, turn around and say to somebody, he can save your daughter. Anybody here got a son? And the best of your ability, you feel like your son is saved. Well, guess what? He can save my son too. Boy, these fellas just, can I run a rabbit?
Yes, sir.
They just irk me. And irk is a citified way of saying makes me want to regurgitate. Now, if I had been in Mississippi, I'd have said puke, but I'm in the city, so I'm going to say regurgitate. They say, well, I preach grace. I preach grace. And this is their definition of grace. I got a little boy that's got to go to hell no matter if he wants to or not. He's got a little boy that can be saved whether he wants to or not. That's not grace. That's not grace. That's not grace. That's an unfair God. That's a mean God. That's not a good God. Let me tell you what grace is. He died for my daughter, and he died for your daughter, and he'll save my son, and he'll save your son. Hey, he's in the daughter business. And Jerry just waits. Going home with me. The mandate that drove him. The mission that directed him. And number three, I love this. Notice the miracle that delighted him. Now, let me just say this. There's always a wet blanket. That wants to rain on your parade before Santa Claus comes at the end. But you can't listen to that. Here come, she's dead. She just died. Too late. Don't trouble the master. And Jesus act like he didn't even hear that person. He said, hey, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Jesus is saying in the Greek, don't listen to that woman. Don't you listen to that man. They don't know. They ain't the doctor. They're not the physician. They don't know just who I am and what I can do. Don't worry about that. You cut that out. Block that out. You got me? You don't need her. It ain't what they say. It's what I done said. And I'm telling you, I'm going home with you. And she's not going to discourage me, so don't let her discourage you. They've been laughing at me ever since I've been here. But the proof's in the pudding. Look at that leper man healed. And look at that hungry man. I'm about to shout.
Come on now.
Look at that dead man up walking around. Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Well, they got to that house. And when Jesus stepped out of his world into Jairus' world, business picked up. He stepped in that house.
Come on. Come on.
Said, Daddy, watch this. Grabbed that little girl by the hand. And Jesus did for Jairus exactly what he asked him to do. Oh God, he laid his hands on her and lifted her up. Said, live. Live! And she got up and started walking around. I believe she said, look, Daddy, I can walk, Daddy. I can live, Daddy. Everything's all right, Daddy. And I believe that little girl said, Daddy, you've been good to me all my life. You provided me home to live in, clothes to wear, and food to eat. But, Daddy, the best thing you ever did for me, Daddy, is you went and got God. Thank you, Daddy, for going and getting God. I mean, I can't take it no more. Glory to God. Hey, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy, for going to... I want to thank anybody in this room tonight. You're glad one day somebody went and got God on your behalf and God stepped into your world because somebody went and got God. And I'm telling you, if God can do it for that daddy, he can do it for any other daddy in this room. Glory to God. He got his miracle. Because when he couldn't, he went after somebody who could. Thank you, buddy. Wait a minute. Look at me. He ain't forgot about you either.
I believe that.
He ain't forgot about y'all. Sir, is that walker yours? You ain't going to need it one day. He ain't forgot about you. Anybody went to bed crying last night?
He ain't forgot.
Did you wake up this morning with that old gut wrenching like, oh God, what am I going to do today? He's standing outside the city. And I'm preached too long and you about wore me out. And I'm going to tell you, if you didn't enjoy my preaching, you're the biggest bunch of hypocrites I've ever preached to in my life. Here it is and I'm done. I wonder if there's somebody that you know. Somebody that you love. Somebody that's near and dear to your heart. Only God can help them. Are you willing to go get God? Are you willing to go say, please? Will you please? It's out of my hands, but it's in your hands. And the Holy Ghost wanted me to tell you, he went home with Jairus. He'll go home with you. He loves you tonight. Somebody go get God. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. God, every night of my life, I preach to people that are like Jairus. They're exhausted. No resources left. Seemingly all hope's gone. Something drives them like a madman to the feet of Jesus. And you step in our world and things change. God, there's a mama, there's a daddy, there's a child of God in this room tonight that's going to ask you to go home with them in a minute. God, grant it in Jesus' name. Perform that miracle in their life in Jesus' name. God, do for them what nobody else can do. And we'll give you glory and thanksgiving because we ask it in the name above every name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. They're going to sing us a song tonight while they're getting ready. There's room. Somebody go get God. Maybe there's a mom and daddy want to go get God for a child. Maybe there's a grandparent wants to go get God for a grandbaby. Maybe you know of a broken home. Maybe you know of a diseased body. You know somebody that really needs something from God. You can't do nothing but pray. You can at least do that tonight. People are coming from all over this building. Hallelujah. Wow. He's accessible. He'll go home with you tonight. People are coming. People are weeping. People are crying. You can touch the Master tonight. And the Master can touch you tonight. Glory. People are crying. People are weeping. He's got a miracle for you tonight. He's got an answer to your prayer tonight. He loves you. He cares about you. You've not been abandoned. You've not been forsaken. He's standing right outside of the city limits of your dilemma.